Welcome to the Watermark Church Podcast. Today we start the new series, Our Story, Week 1. Let's listen in.
Love, we just say love. And in Greek, there is four different types of love. And some of you may know that, just a terminology, but like agape and eros love and all that kind of stuff. But even in our translation of time, it's different. We call time, time. But in Greek, there's two words for time in Greek. One is Chronos, but it's Chronos time, which is watch time. Like, you know what I'm saying, church starts at 10, you know what I'm saying? Some of your church starts at 10:30, but I mean, church starts at 10. You get up this morning at, you know what I'm saying, whatever, and you get the kids ready, and you got to be out of the door by a certain time, and that's time. Like, that's a specific time. But then there's a word, one of my favorite Greek words, called kairos. Everybody, kairos. One, two, three, say kairos. Run, two, three. Kairos is like this strong, like kairos time. What it means is a moment, like a moment in time, like a specific period, like something happens and it's this moment in time of your life that you're not going back from, like something you remember, a moment, a specific, not a time, you don't even know what time of day it is, but something happens. And it's interesting because we all are developed and defined by these moments. You learn by these moments. And some of these moments are, some of you are facing personal failure. Sometimes it's taking a stand against temptation or stand up for something or experience suffering or forgiving somebody or doing something hard or making tough choices or stepping out. But these are all moments in time that we step out of the norm and something begins to happen around us, a storm in life happens, and it's a moment. So as we go through scripture here, as I'm praying about this, and I knew this video was coming, I'm doing every week, listen, except for next week, because we're going to talk about Haiti, we're going to have a new video of a family in our church, and because it's like testimonies, like sharing stories, and we're going to talk about these different things, and so I'm going to talk about this, and the title of this is called Stages of Purifying Gold. Stages of Purifying Gold. And stage number one is this, it's called the breaking phase. The stage is breaking. So the person who works on the gold, the refiner of gold, well, first, the object of gold or silver, an object is actually in something. You guys ever heard that phrase, like, that there's a diamond in the center of that coal or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's within every gold and silver, it's encrusted around some kind of ore or rock. So that first phase of us is breaking away the hardness of the shell that's around the center part that we got to get to. For instance, isn't it interesting how that is true in our own spiritual life? That when you start making decisions to follow the Lord, you start realizing the walls that you have made, the crustiness that you have, that sometimes anger or resentment or the untrust, and you have this walls and rocks build up around this that needs to be like broken away, that needs to be taken care of, that needs to be chipped away. And so we go through this phase of literally what it is a breaking away of that so you can get to it. It's interesting because there's something inside, we just got to get to it. I love this. I told you to look up Jeremiah 23:29. Let me read this again. It says, "Is my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock into pieces." I just picture that. Like Jesus came along and just chiseling this rock away to get to the center. Like looking for gold, it's that breaking away. And then after you break a lot of the junk in this junk stuff away, and it doesn't feel good, after you break that stuff away, stage two happens, and this is really fun. It's called the crucible. And most of us have heard this word before, but all a crucible is an object that we can put something in that holds it so it can heat up. So that big pot is a giant crucible. This is this giant pot that melts metals and stuff. And then this other one is a little one. It's almost like, you know what I'm saying? Like it's like putting a little soup over the fire or something. But what it is a crucible where that object won't melt. It will just melt the stuff inside. Just think of it as a pot, like a boiling pot. Is when you turn it up, it melts. But this is way hotter. I mean, this melts metals. And so you would take that object that was once rock or core or brokenness, and you try to break it down to the center as much as you can, and you put it in the crucible, and you heat this furnace or fire up to 1,000 degrees or whatever it is, and you put it in there, and you let it sit. And what begins to happen is it begins to melt. It begins to, because the heat makes this object, the metal, melt, and so it melts it. So it's called the crucible. The refiner places it special in the crucible. But check this out. Proverbs 17:3 says, "The crucible for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart." Think about that. As we're talking about the crucible, it's almost like the Lord saying, "I'm holding you, I've got you, but I'm liquefying your heart." He's like, "I'm taking that gold and silver, I'm gonna chip away at stuff. We're gonna put you in there. I got you. It's just gonna get pretty hot." And it's interesting because he puts it in there. Stage three is this. It's called the dross. Stage three is the dross. What it is as the fire is heated and the crucible's in there, because of the weight of the minerals, of gold is heavy, silver is heavy, and this precious stuff is heavy, but the impurities are not heavy, here's what begins to happen. The good stuff goes down, and the cruddy stuff comes up. Check this out. When the heat is on. Now, maybe you're not like me, but I'm going to give me as an example. When the pressure is on and you're pushed against the wall and the heat is on, doesn't some of you are like, all you're doing right now is thinking about being in line at Walmart or in a traffic jam. And all of a sudden, that you talk about impurities, watch people as they drive, right? And so all of a sudden begins what happened is when the heat and the pressure on, maybe from work or your boss or your marriage or whatever it is, all of a sudden the heavy good stuff goes to the bottom and the cruddy stuff goes to the top, and that's what begins to happen. It's called that dross, the stuff on top. It's the impurities that flow to the top. It's that stuff on top that floats up there. And I love this. It says, the dross represents a lot of times wrong motives, attitude, negativity, insecurity, hate, unforgiveness. It floats to the top. Proverbs 25:4, check this out. 25:4 says, "Remove the dross from the silver, and a silversmith can produce a vessel." Because when you're working with metals and you're working with things, you can't weld a piece that has so much dirt in it to a piece that's clean. It doesn't connect. And so you remove it. The junk flows to the top when it's turned up. And what the silversmith does is he takes that dross and he scrapes it off. Here's the catch. Some of us are thinking, yeah, that's life. I feel like I'm in a fire right now. I feel like I'm in a storm right now. And my junk is coming to the surface. And you're right, Jarvis. I realize who I am. I realize that there's junk in there. And the Lord's cleaning me out. So I'm done, right? I got it, right? This is my favorite part. So then it says in Scripture, stage four is called the heat. You know what they do in this stage? The refiner raises the temperature and does it all over again. It says in Scripture, it says, Psalms 12:6 says, "And the words of the Lord are flawless, like a silver purified in the crucible, like gold refined seven times." Refined seven times. Seven times. It says, he removes the top scum. He removes the top layer when we're in a fire, and he takes it out, and as he removes that, he goes down, he turns up the heat a few notches, and he puts it back in. By the way, can I just stop? That's the most prettiest noise I've ever heard. Right? The kid screaming? That's awesome. Anyway, so as he has the crucible in, he churns it up, He holds it in there, and guess what happens? As the heat is there again, a new heat rises. More dross is risen to the top. He pulls it out, and he scrapes that off. You might be thinking, is he done? No. Nope. Goes back. Stage four again. Turns up the heat, puts it back in, turns up the heat, lets it sit there. Purity rise to the top again. And you say, how often does the refiner do this? Isn't that the fun question? Because we want to say, I was in the furnace last year. I don't know if I want to be in the furnace this year. I was having a hard season. I feel like, listen, I don't know if I can take any more of this. You want to know my prophecy for you? You're going to face a furnace. And it may not be just one time. And you say, how long does this take? I don't know. My easy example, when do you get all the crud out? How long is that going to take? Forever? Yep, probably. Here's what's the irony about this. As he pulls it out and removes the scum, puts it back in, pulls it out, removes the scum. And in the natural, here's what I love. It says, because the Lord, he knows only certain impurities are released at certain temperatures. Check this out. Only certain impurities in your life will ever come to the surface when the heat level is at a certain temperature. Here's what begins to happen. In all of us, we have pressure points that we don't want to talk about, that we don't want to deal with, and we want to hide. What happens is when we feel inferior or insecure, lonely, in despair, or when we feel hurt or in bondage, what begins to happen is our defense mechanisms will eventually come out, and the way we don't like it will come out, and we will rise up. We will rise up, and when we rise up, those impurities usually rise up within us. And if we don't clear that out, every time we begin to bow our neck and rise up, there will always rise within us until we allow the Lord to clean that stuff out of our lives. Is this, you guys catching this? Because the more you allow this to happen, the longer it's going to take. And so as you go through the process, he says, I will heat it up. I will heat it up, not because I don't like you, but because I love you, and I don't want you to be controlled by the impurities that rise to the surface. Because here's what happens. If we don't deal with those impurities from our past or past relationships, they will come into our future relationships, in our relationships now, and it will come into the same relationship with the Lord. Because if you have anger issues with your friends and your spouse, chances are you have anger issues between you and the Lord. If there's unforgiveness here, there's some kind of forgiveness issue here. If there's pain here, there's pain here. And because we always portray the Lord based upon relationships at times in our lives. And so if we want to stand off this way, then we stand off this way. And so what the Lord is saying, the more I can clean this, and here's it is. It's just like if I went bike riding, I tell you what, when I was fifth grade, we used to live on a place called Hart Ranch Resort. My parents used to be in the Black Hills, and I remember this giant resort. My parents would just let me go bike riding. One of the best cuts I've ever had in my leg was I was going down this hill on my bike, and literally, the brakes went out. Like, I couldn't go back or anything. And the only way I stopped was I hit a garbage can and I went right in. That's what happened. Just flipped right into a garbage can. Dude, cut my knee. And the first thing I did is like look around, make sure people notice. Oh, yeah, people notice. In the midst of laughing, they were saying, "You okay?" And they're looking at my knee. But listen, I didn't want anybody to touch my knee, number one, because it hurt, and there was blood coming down. I'm like, don't touch it! I got it. And I just went home, and all I wanted to do was put it up, and my mom goes, you gotta put hydrogen peroxide on it. I said, no way. My wife even still makes me, and I don't want it. As soon as you put it on, it just bubbles up, and it hurts. But listen, until you clean it out, it will never be healed. Because when we don't clean it out, it creates infections and it spreads through the whole body. A cut can kill your body if we don't take care of the pain in our own life, even if it's in one area, it goes everywhere. Next stage is stage five. This is the best stage. It's called purification and reflection. The refiner continues to remove the impurities, the dross, to become more pure, more precious. And it says, at certain metals, the way the refiner knows that it's good to go and all the impurities are off is when he looks at the metal, the liquid metal, he doesn't see impurities. He sees his own reflection. Let me repeat that. Not that he sees the impurities, he begins to notice his reflection. Now listen, in our own lives, I'm not saying you need to be perfect, but there is something to be said about us being restored and being healed. You know, I'm going to pick on Joel here for a second, because I love Joel, and he likes being picked on. But the last time we did this sermon series, our story, Joel is the one who spoke on the screen about going to prison. Now we're sitting here 2 years later, and he's in the front row of church. You talk about making mistakes. I can sit here and say in this room, who's made mistakes, raise your hand, and Joel will be the first one to raise his hand. Who else has made mistakes? All of us, right? I'm telling you, one of the things I love about Joel is saying, he got a new job, works at Teen Challenge. And I'm telling you right now, here's what's cool. The last message I preached before Joel went to prison was, your test will become your testimony, your mess will become your message, and your problems will become a platform for God to use to help other people. Right? Look where you are now. Your mess is now a message, and your test is a testimony, and you are now working on a platform that God allows you to work to reach into people's lives who need to be touched. I'm not saying God's going to take it away. I'm saying that God's going to restore it. You had a bad marriage. Guess what? Guess who needs help? People who are in bad marriages. You've been abused. Guess who needs help? People who are in the midst of being abused or getting out of it that need to be loved on. You're not good with your kids? Find somebody who is, who's been through some tough things in their life. You know what I'm saying? What if in our own lives we use what God has given us to move forward, not to be chains holding us back, but to help liberate those in your life that need to be set free from the same bondage that you once lived in. And that's the freedom of Jesus Christ, because he restores all things. Isaiah 48:10 says, I love this. See, I have refined you, though not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. What a cool phrase. You have been tested in the furnace of affliction, the trials by fire, the moment, the dross has been removed. And here's what I'm going to tell you. Can I get the worship team up here? We're going to close this puppy off. As I look at Corey and Melissa and as they shared, they have always had moments in their life that God showed up. One of my favorite stories Corey will ever tell you is that, can I just share this about your dad's belt? His dad gave you the belt, and we had cancer. As he got skinnier, he had to put new holes in his belt, right? Like, his dad died of cancer, and his dad gave him his, and his dad had this belt, and every time he'd get skinnier and skinnier, he'd put a new hole in his leather belt. And one of the objects that Corey has is his dad's belt. And the whole time on a mission trip, he wore his dad's belt. I'm telling you, there's moments in our lives that we all need, that we all need to say, I'm not going back anymore. I'm not going back the way I used to live. I'm not going to have a marriage like this anymore. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to overreact like this anymore. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going forward. We all need moments in our lives that we feel like, I don't understand how this works. And this is what I love. There is a phrase out there called molten moments. If you're taking notes, write this down. Molten moments. If you ever worked with welding or if you ever done anything with metal before, you realize a brief period in a moment of trying to shape metal. There's a brief period in which the metal has been so heated enough that it can be shaped and maneuvered into what you want to be. It can become useful to that object. But once it starts being cooled, it's done being movable. But once the heat stays on it, not overheated, but just enough that it can be pressed and it can be molded. It's a short-term opportunity for long-term good use. There's a point in time, a moment that this can be shaped. And I look at Scripture, and I hear people say this all the time. Well, God will never give you enough that you can't handle. Malarkey. He will always give you when you walk in Him stuff that you didn't think you could ever handle. What that means is, even though He will not give you more than handle, because He knows when He's walking with you through it, you can't do it by yourself. When He's with you, He can do it with you. You're saying, I don't know if I can handle this. I don't know if you can either, but you can with the Lord. Well, I don't know if I can restore my family. I don't think you can, but you can with the Lord. I don't know if I can fix my marriage. You can't, but you and the Lord can. I don't know if I can save this city. You can't save anybody, but Jesus can. I think what's interesting about this is I can't, but He can. And what we need to be concerned about is saying, God, this fire is hot. And what I love, my favorite prayer is, and I've got to be careful when I pray this now, is, Lord, set a fire within my heart. Burn something within me. Let revival start here. And then I read this about God putting you in a furnace. I'm going, well, fire starts fire. Right? And maybe part of our process with the Lord is every time we go through a moment, every time we go through a challenge, and every time we take a next step, every time we do these things, He says, see, impurity's coming off, and I can see my reflection in you. Think about that. Isn't our goal in life for the Lord to look at us, and when He looks at you, He says, I'm starting to see myself in you. The hands and feet of Jesus. The love of the Lord.
Thanks for listening. Join us next week as we continue this series, Our Story.